Welcome back to This Green Earth. I'm Nell Larson.
And I'm Chris Cherniak.
And joining us for the second part of the show today is Christy Bills. She is the entomologist and entomology collections manager at the Utah Museum of Natural History. And she's here to talk about fireflies in Utah. Christy, thanks so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Hi, good morning.
Well, I think, you know, we may have given away the secret in our intro that there are fireflies here in the state of Utah. But for a long time, that maybe wasn't formally recognized or understood. So can you give us a picture of kind of the history of fireflies here?
Yeah, so they've always been here. Sometimes people are confused and think that they're newly introduced from back east, but they've always been here. But they're just in very isolated pockets throughout the state where there's persistent marshy areas. So we find them from all the way from Bear Lake to Moab.
And are there different types of fireflies? I used to call them lightning bugs back in New Jersey. That's what I learned their term. I like that.
Yeah, so that common name applies to the same bug. Hmm. So they're beetles, so they're not bugs or flies.
Okay.
It means the same thing. And we have different species throughout the state, but mostly the one that we have that flashes mostly is the same species. But we have a few others that are a little trickier to track, but mostly we have one throughout the state.
Now, you say one that flashes that we're familiar with. Are there others that we might not be noticing, we might not be seeing the flashing?
Yeah, so not to get taxonomic and a little boring, but all the fireflies belong to the same family. So all ladybugs are in the same family. All scarabs are the same family, and all fireflies are the same family, but not all fireflies flash as adults. So we do have flashing fireflies here, and the one that we have the most is called Pyraxemina dispersa, and the common name is called the marsh wiggler or something like that. It's super cute. And we find it in at least 11 counties in the state, and but we have a couple others, and especially there's an interesting population in Moab, and that's a totally different species. It's bigger and higher flying, and we have a really hard time catching that one.
higher flying, that's interesting.
Yeah, they're tricky. So we only have two specimens of that, even though I've sent people down to try and catch them for me. But they're in various places in Moab, and so many people are in Moab, you would think that more people would notice them or more people would be able to track them down, but they're in four or five places in Moab at least.
So when and why did you start focusing on the firefly here in Utah?
Well, the project started, it's actually not just my project, it's a project with BYU. They have an insect collection there too, and the entomologist there, Seth Bybee, and I started talking, and I have been keeping track of the anecdotal reports that people tell me over the years about fireflies. And I have, you know, a handful of reports, and I just didn't think people were confusing them for anything else. So I was pretty certain we had them. And he said, yeah, he knew of a few places too. And we thought with our combined strengths of our institutions, we could really form a strong research project where we asked people to tell us where they knew where they were. So we formed a citizen science project, which is really, really exciting because we get people throughout the state to tell us where they see them. And without that, without the combined brain power of all the public telling us where they find them, we would never be able to know where they are because they only are adults flashing from late May to early July. Hmm. And there's just no way Seth and I can drive around the state and find these isolated little pockets by ourselves. But we've done a big marketing campaign to say, hey, if you know where they are, let us know. And then people go to our website and report where they see them. And then they're like, oh, yeah, my grandpa's pasture. Oh, yeah, we see them up at our cabin. And then pretty soon we've had hundreds and hundreds of reports.
So tell us how people can submit their own sightings if they see them, you know, in their own experience.
Oh, it'd make us so happy. So on the museum's website, it's nhmu.utah.edu/fireflies. Or you can just, if you Google Utah fireflies, you'll probably find it. And not only do we have a web form where you can submit sightings, but we also have a map that shows where other sightings have been made. So it kind of gives you a sense of where they are, and they're really common in the wetter areas, like in the Juntas, in Weber County, in Summit County, and then it kind of gives you clues, too, about where they probably are, and we just haven't found them yet.
So I actually have a question for Nell. Nell, you have them on the preserve in certain locations, correct?
We do. Talk about that. There are just tons of them, thousands, really? You know. And this was something, Christy, this is probably a story you've heard a million times, but I moved out here from the Northeast, and my first summer I saw the fireflies in June, and I made a casual comment in the office like, oh, the fireflies are out. It's so nice. And everyone was like, what? You know, fireflies, stop the presses. And so we started doing research and discovered that fireflies were considered to be pretty rare west of the Mississippi and that they were only in these isolated pockets. And
they followed you.
I brought them with
you
me.
No,
hopefully they were here beforehand. And so is that the kind of thing that you hear a lot? Some people don't think they're here. Some
right.
people do.
I never thought they were here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you something super funny. So we enlisted people at state parks. So we don't collect at state parks unless we have explicit permission, because that's against the rules. But we asked people at state parks to post postcards for us. And the director of the state parks at the time wrote us back and said, I'll post your postcards, but I'll tell you, we don't have fireflies in Utah. And this was the person in charge of the state parks, to remain nameless. And then he sent out an email to all of the state park managers, and immediately we got back four or five replies that said, oh, yeah, we have them here. We have them here. We have them here. We have them here. And it was a big, fun surprise. And I love this project so much because it tells us that there's so much we don't know, and entomology is so fun that way, that there's undiscoverable things all around us all the time. And some of them are bad, but some of them are really charming and exciting and fun. And if people go outside more and look around, there's a lot of fun things to be discovered.
Now, do you find that people are really interested and excited about getting involved in this project, and maybe more so than other entomology subjects?
Yeah. People think they don't like bugs, but they really do. That's my premise. That's my belief, is that entomology is people don't really. Well, you've got cockroaches, sure, but you've also got really charming, gorgeous, shining beetles, and you've got butterflies, and we have some moths here in the state that are like the size of a child's hand, that are really large. Beautiful colors, feathery antenna, and, you know, insects that are pollinating our food, that are aerating our soil, that are making life possible here. So they're actually really exciting. And so fireflies are kind of a segue insect. They're kind of like, hey, insects are cool.
Right.
And nobody doesn't like insects. Some people are a little concerned about telling us where they are because they think that we have some power to make their land protected and then they can't farm it or something, but that's absolutely not true. So, and also when we collect a couple, we don't affect the population at all. So we only take a few and then they go into the insect collection at my institution and then also at BYU. And then they're preserved for perpetuity. I have some specimens that date back 100 years.
Wow.
So we don't affect the populations when we collect, and it doesn't make anybody's land protected. So it's safe to talk to us.
We're speaking with Christy Bills. She's an entomologist and heads up the entomology collections or management at the Utah Natural History Museum. We're talking about, we can talk about any insect with you. You're an entomologist, but we're focused on fireflies, which I know is a beetle. So we need to start a program that gets the right name. We need a new PR campaign. They need to be called like
fire beetles,
lantern beetles, or something like
Ooh.
That. What do these fireflies do during the day? Where are they nesting? And how do we? You know, I don't want to trample them if they're on the ground. What are they doing during the day?
Oh, yeah, that's not very likely. So they are in very marshy areas.
Okay.
So whenever I've been out collecting them, it's not a place people want to walk. It's muddy, very, very muddy. Yeah.
Okay, so they're safe.
It's an unpleasant place for people to walk, yeah. And so the major problems that they face are when their habitats are destroyed or from light pollution. Mm. So they're safe. But so they're adults from late May to early July, which is a very short time. And then the rest of the time, they're in other parts of their life stage. So like butterflies, beetles have complete metamorphosis. So they're eggs and then larvae, and they're just down in the mud hanging out. But the larvae also blow. We just don't see them because we're not hanging out in muddy pastures, digging around in the mud.
So tell us a little bit about how light pollution impacts these species.
Well, it's sort of like trying to talk in a noisy bar. You can't communicate very well, right?
And that's the point. It's communication. It's not like a directional thing. They're communicating?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the flashing is signaling for mates. So they can't do that very well if it's really bright.
Okay. So they're signaling. Is this a mating procedure?
Yes. Yeah. So it originally evolved in the larva as a warning for predators not to eat them. And then most of the adults in the family have retained the ability, and then they use it as sexual signaling. And they do it in a particular species-specific pattern. So flash, 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 like Morse code.
Oh, okay. Can I actually attract them with a light? If I had a little pen light or so, is that something, a thing?
It has been tried. Yeah, it has been tried, and some people have success with it. I think that it's a little nuanced.
Right.
Might be tricky to do. You can definitely try it, and some people have.
And it probably has to be the right wavelength of light or color. You know, there's a lot of things that go into that probably.
I think it's a lovely thing to try and do.
Sure. I want to develop my own little habitat for them, but I guess I would have to create a marsh in my backyard.
Well, yeah, or you probably could just find one that already exists and then take care of it, you know?
Or right.
There's
take
plenty
care
of them.
So go
but
ahead.
That brings up a good point. Kind of firefly habitat you've mentioned is marshes, wetlands, you know, wet meadows. What can we do to protect or preserve this habitat? And is this something that we need to, be concerned about?
Hmm. Well, any place... I can't really think of anything specific. Anytime we build a house in a place where there's wet pasture, you know, then we're removing, you know, migratory bird habitat and firefly pasture. So, you know,
it's
and also be practicing good farming practices that don't put a lot of pesticide in the water.
Right.
But people have to live, too, so it's a balance. I'm not a land management expert. I just try and live lightly. And the one place I know in the state where people are actively trying to protect a firefly habitat is Nibley in Cache County.
Hmm. Interesting.
So they have a firefly park, and there are people that are actively working to protect it from light, and some buildings are going up adjacent to it, and they're building a tree barrier to try and keep the park dark for the fireflies.
Wow, how cool.
Wow, that's in Nibley. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if our listeners are interested in learning more about this or getting involved, where would you direct them?
They could go to the museum's website, so nhmu.utah.edu/fireflies. There's some information online. Or they can go to my talk Thursday night.
Of course. So
nice.
Thursday night, let's see, at Swanner, Christy will be speaking more about this topic.
Really?
And you find that on SwannerEcoCenter.org or on Facebook through Swanner or through the Museum of Natural History.
And it's too early in the month that they would be
right
out, right? After the talk, we can't go out.
No.
But are they located in a certain area of the preserve now? Or is it?
There are a few definite hotspots.
Hotspots. So you know where
people can see them. I would recommend the southern boundary of the south side of the preserve, kind of near the Ranch Place neighborhood. There's a trail, a gravel trail that runs right along the boundary, and that's a good place to see them.
Okay.
Get a little taste of that. We'll talk a little bit more about that at Christy's talk on Thursday as well.
All right. Christy Bills. She's an entomologist with the Utah Natural History Museum, and she's going to be speaking this Thursday night at Swanner Eco Center. You can go online and, I guess, put in a reservation or so.
Yes, you'll want to register.
Register.
Thank you, Chris.
So
good
much,
point.
So much to learn. Christy, thank you so much for taking the time to join me this morning. We'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, sounds like fun. Thanks.
All right.